we stomp our way into the fantastical world of Keyforge, discussing lore, rules, strategies, decks, organized play, and of course, the Nordic Keyforge League. Travel down the Imperial Road to the Forum of Giants, where diplomacy exists for the good of the many, while the curse of vanity leads ultimately to exile. This is not the real intro. This is just a tribute. Sorry about that. This is the Nordic Keyforge podcast.
Very nice.
Okay. Welcome, everyone, to the Nordic Keyforge podcast. I am Jason, the Captain Kirk, and I'm joined here today by the one and only Hydrophilic Attack, also known as Jonas. Jonas, how are you?
I'm tired, but good. Yeah.
Cool. Well, let's hope we can keep you awake for this episode. a bit more interesting, considering you're a part of the episode. So, you know, please stay awake.
Yeah. Would be difficult to... You would need to some very creative editing if I'm falling asleep. Even more creative than usual, I guess.
I'll just take some like odd words from the past 17 episodes and put them into place, and I can control what you say. Like a little puppeteer. So great. This is episode 18, and today we are going to start diving into the good old subject of SAS and the SAS system. And this episode is going to be, we're just going to be dipping our toes into this subject. We're going to be talking about our feelings, how our relationships with it, how we treat it ourselves. And then we're going to come back maybe in a couple of weeks or a couple of months and talk about SAS at a deeper level, hopefully with Zaramis and Mr. K-pop, and maybe even Algernon or Anders coming in as well to give their thoughts here. But before we do that, we need to talk about our Keyforge Forge Night. And so, Hydro, how has your Forge Night been? Have you been playing any Keyforge in the last 2 weeks?
A week ago, I played some Live Sealed. So
Live Sealed. You make me jealous every time you mention this. You put pictures up in the Discord, and I'm so jealous. Did you pick the best deck again?
Yes, I did. I did. I'm kind of getting a reputation as the guy who always opens the best deck in Sealed.
Is it still class as Sealed if you keep on picking the
But the best I deck? Haven't played the deck after that, but it's quite decent. But I didn't win. I went 2-1. So I lost against the deck. I have zero artifact control in the deck I got, and I played against a deck with double redacted. So that's 2 free keys if I don't have artifact control. And there was something else. Yeah, I also had a lot of good artifacts in my deck, and my opponent had 2. Reclaimed by nature, so he could counter what my deck did, and because my deck wants to use autoencoder and it wants to use safe house to play bone knitting over and over again, and he took out my artifacts, and then he had his redacted that I couldn't do anything about, and it was painful, but he played super well as well.
Annoying artifact control is so overrated. I mean, not at all. I do not have enough artifact control in my decks. Or do I?
So what about you? How has your Fortnite been?
My Fortnite has been actually pretty good. I'm pretty confident with my lineup. I've just been practicing when I can. I've had a pretty hectic few weeks sorting out my work life, coming back from parental leave. But I'm pretty confident with some of my selections, my league selections. I think I've got a couple of band baits in there as well. But I've also gone for the broad range of at least one deck from every set. And just to, you know, try and confuse anyone a little bit. And I've actually gone for all new decks this season as well. So I've had to put a little bit of practice time into these decks. And don't think, maybe one of these decks I've owned since the beginning of last season. So I have bought out, opened 5 of my 6 decks this season since the start of season 13.
Nice. So that's fun.
Which is fun. So I'm hoping to. I'm going for promotion. Going for gold again. Just missed out last time. So just big thanks for those of you that have helped me to do that. Well, I've really been enjoying the new team structure in our Discord as well. The new team structure is, for those of you who aren't in the Nordic Keyforge League or aren't in the Discord, we've been randomly split up into teams. Obviously, one person from each division in your team, so that we can, like, you know, discuss tactics and everything. Because then it's not really, you know, it's not unfair if we can do this. It's a place to do that, and then there's going to be points at the end, and even prizes, including entry into the Keyforge Premier League. But it's been really good to, like, in a fair way, be able to discuss decks. So big hats off to Syzox for sorting that one out. So that's been my Forge night.
So has your team channel been active?
Actually has been quite. Carl Algonon R has been a big part of making that active as well, and asking for thoughts on some of his decks, because obviously he's up in Diamond this season. And so he's made that very active, which is really good. There's so if your team isn't active, you know, get in there and start some conversations, because it's there for you're there to support each other through the league. So
at the start, when this was announced, we had some banter in our channel. We are Team Saurians, so we posted some dinosaur memes and stuff like that. But and then we had at the very beginning some discussion about approaches to how to choose your lineup and things like that. But since the start, it has kind of died down. I don't think we have had a message in the channel in a week or so. So, no. But maybe I should try and get it more lively again. I don't know. Post my lineup and ask, which deck would you ban? Something like that, just to get some kind of idea of what I should protect and things like that. Maybe it could be a good thing to do.
Yeah, I've struggled to get some time in actually to practice this off season. Actually, I think a lot of other people might be feeling the same thing, that we're going back to the office to work. It's less working from home, so there's not as much time, and unfortunately, like, that travel time comes out of hobby time, unfortunately. So but it's really good that those teams are there, and I've been trying to be a little bit active, but you know, the odd gif here and there. I never used to use gifs until Yosavo graced.
Yeah, he has been I'm not going to say bad influence or good influence. He has been an influence on us all.
I second that. Okay, cool. Well, that was our Forge Nights. Let's just hop into this topic. I'm so excited about talking about SAS finally, because I feel like we've dodged it a little bit, really wanted to give it justice, and now hopefully we can give it some justice. So, you know, the big question is, actually, is SAS, is it good for the game, or is it not so good for the game? I don't want to say it's bad for the game, because, and I think it's really important here to say that Nathan, or known as Corithan, on Discord and social media, he's a software developer, and he has built the website, and he's built the system and designed the system. And whatever we say here, I just want to kind of bit of a disclaimer here. We don't want to kind of put a downer, or we don't want to kind of criticize the work that he's put in, because he has been one of the, I think he's one of the people that have really kept people in the game over the pandemic. I think he deserves a lot of credit for that.
He works super hard as well on the website.
Yeah, exactly. It's a really, really smart website, really well designed. I'm a patron as well, so I'm a big supporter of what he does. Not, you know, only because of the SaaS, but also because of the deck database system as well. I use the tags and everything to manage my decks. So this isn't anything to do with actually saying that he's done a bad job, but I think the discussion we want to go here is, you know, are we putting too much weight on SaaS to judge our decks? Because, you know, with everything good, it's inevitable that as humans and as players, we're going to challenge the status quo all the time. And we do that to weigh up, actually, is this actually a good thing? And when you realize that it's actually a good thing when you come out of it, then it's been worth doing it. And it's not just a phase, it's not just a fad. And so it's important to have this conversation and to challenge, like I said, the status quo. And just a little quick thing into, you know, what is SaaS? Maybe you have, you know, been living under a rock for the last year. Maybe you're just getting into a game. Maybe you haven't looked at it just big much into it a huge amount, and it's, you know, just a number. Higher the number, the better the deck. SaaS is a SaaS stands for synergy and anti-synergy, basically, and it's a way in which we can analyze our decks, or it's like an algorithm which analyzes our decks for us. And so when you put your deck link into Decks of Keyforge and log your deck there into your account, it will give you a SaaS score. Now, this SaaS score is based on how the cards in your deck synergize with each other. And the synergy is the really important thing here. The SaaS score is put together in the way that there's your base score, known as the AERC, the ARC, the base ARC. And there, to begin with, it was the four areas, which was expected amber control, expected amber, artifact control, creature control, and then efficiency, recursion, disruption, effective creature power, creature protection, and others were added at a later date. But it's called the ARC, and so you sit with your base ARC, and then you add on points for synergies.
Example for base ARC? Like, let's say a card that says play steal one. That card is going to take one amber away from your opponent. That's 1 point in amber control, and it's going to give you one amber. So that's 1 point in expected amber, giving that card an arc of two as the base arc. So
yes, that's so, right. Yes.
So
yeah. Okay. So that's where you get those points for that. And when you're on Decks of Keyforge and you hover over the deck, you get the score for each individual cards when you hover over the small icons. And so you get a lot of information of what you're, even before you've even played it. So anyway, you add points on for synergies, you deduct points for anti-synergies, cards that actually don't work together in your deck. And then you add a couple more points for any meta points. And I think, Jonas, you've got a better way of explaining meta than I have. Do you want to take this one?
Yeah, so the meta point, it's basically a way of looking at, they're trying to capture the meta in competitive Keyforge. So they're saying there are a lot of scary artifacts out there. So having artifact control in your deck, a card that can remove an artifact, is your first artifact control card is worth more than your second artifact control card, so to speak. So your first R point is actually maybe worth more than 1 point because it's taking your deck from having no way to kill a really strong artifact into having a way of doing it. And there are other similar things, like you get a large bonus if you have a scaling Amber control card, something like Too Much to Protect, or if you have a board wipe, which was seen as being important when the creature flood archetype started getting more popular and things like that. So it's basically a way of saying, yeah, the system of rating each card on what they do is good, but it has some flaws in that sometimes a deck is more than the sometimes a deck is more than the sum of its cards, because your deck may need some specific things in order to react to what your opponent has, and that's captured in the meta score.
Okay, yeah. So it brings in more than just the points for the certain cards that you have. And if you're interested more and actually want to hear this straight from the horse's mouth, episode 56 or 57 of Call of Discovery, Nathan Corithan was actually a guest there and talked about the system, and this was maybe a year ago. And so this was end of 2020. So we're talking about a year ago that they recorded this, and he talked about his system and how he designed. And obviously, this has been a year later. Mass Mutation is out, Dark Tidings is out, and we've now gone into hiatus, and so a lot has happened since then. And so it's interesting listen, and I listened to this in preparation for tonight, and it's quite interesting listening to him talking about this and looking at the status of the game now. I recommend actually going back, and we'll link that in the show notes as well.
Is funny, we always say we will link this in the show notes, and then we forget to put it in the show notes. So
yeah. So if we forget to put it in the show notes, episode 56 of Call of Discovery. If I'm wrong, it's episode 57. So don't even trust what we say. I mean, why are you even listening to us?
Just do it as a running joke at this point. We just reference random things and say it's in the show notes, and then we never put it in.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe we should put something in the show notes that we don't reference at all. I'll put a link to my personal blog if you want. Have you got a personal blog? Just random links in there. So anyway, this is the start of our as a podcast, as a hosting group, our conversation on SaaS. And obviously, there's members of the hosting team which aren't here, and we want to get their thoughts on this as well. But the big first question is, right now, what Jonas, what is your relationship to this SaaS model? Do you like it? Have you always liked it?
Right. So my feelings about SaaS has evolved a lot since it launched. I think it's quite good now, and I think I use it quite a lot myself now, and I like it. But when it came out, and for several months after it came out, I was kind of very negative about it. And then I've sort of slowly changed my mind, and Corithan has sort of proven, he has improved the system a lot, and he has showed that he listens to feedback and things like that. So when the system originally launched, there was already another system that was called ADHD by Aminar 41, or Aminar some numbers was the username. And it was a deck rating system that was quite similar to AERC in SAS. He had Amber control, he had Amber gain, he had creature control, and he had efficiency as four categories.
Is there still a website for?
No, this was on KeyForge Compendium, which has been dead for a while, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
So you cannot find this anymore. Maybe he has put the code online somewhere. I don't know, or
Yeah. I mean, we wouldn't put it in the show notes anyway, even if we did. Yeah. Just out there.
And the way he did it, he said, I don't want to think about synergies or how the cards work together. I don't want to think about what the card can do. I want to do what the card absolutely always does. So, so he said, if a card can steal 4 amber, like bait or switch, but most of the time only steals 1 amber, it's just 1 amber control and not 4 amber control. March and Generosity, when that card came, you can draw your whole deck with it. But he said, well, sometimes you will draw just 2 cards. So that's, I don't know, half or 1 point in efficiency. So it was kind of,
there's more of the reality rather than the potential.
He had like a principle that he was following super strictly. Probably it was too strict for reality. Reality was actually usually more generous than his strict ratings. So actually, the system was not as accurate as it could have been if he was being less stringent, actually.
So it's more of actually what the deck will always do rather than what you could do as the player with the deck.
So then when Sus came, it was actually a lot more subjective from the start than the ADHD system. So originally, Sus was based on card ratings. Like basically, Korathan, he rated each card between 1 and 5, depending on how much he liked it. So he said the bad penny, horrible card, that's a 1. Bait and switch, best card of all time, that's a 5.
Pre-errata, right?
And he just had very few cards at the 1 and 5, and most cards were between 2 and 4. And I remember at that time thinking, these ratings are not so good. I actually went back. You can find it on the Sus website. He has like his original spreadsheet showing his original ratings. It's quite fun to look at. And I'm looking at it now. Actually, I feel like I didn't give him enough credit for how he actually got a lot of things right. Like when he launched his system during late COTA, no one cared about board control. There were like Voltor winning players who said that a gateway to this is a wasted card in your deck. But Korathan already then saw that, no, this card can be very good. He had gateway to this and other board wipes like Champions Challenge. He had them rated 4 out of 5, which is a very high rating in his system at that point. But then he also did have some very weird things like, for example, Hysteria, one of the best, most disruptive cards in the game. He didn't like that sometimes if you didn't know what you were doing with, you could clog your own hand with it. So he rated it a 2 out of 5. Some cards like, let's say, he rated another one that I always talk about is he rated Total Recall, a card that returns all your creatures to hand, and if they were ready, you gain an amber for each of them. It's a huge burst card, but it really clogs your hand, and actually, it's not that good. He rated it at 4 out of 5, and things like that. And when it launched, I guess maybe where I was in life, I was quite a negative person, so I just saw these negatives, and I said, no, this is no good. But actually, looking back at it now, I can see that he actually had these ratings were actually quite reasonable, especially when you consider, like he talked about on this episode of Call of Discovery, he rated all this like in one day.
got rid of the family and just said, right, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to do this, and sent them off to do something else.
And really, those original ratings, they hold up a lot better than I gave it credit for at that time, even though there were some outliers that were really bad. Most of it was actually quite good.
Yeah. I mean, you got to start somewhere though, right?
Yeah. And that's really been his approach, like an iterative approach that he has always improved on these things. And that's why really Sus has just stayed the best system because he has always taken feedback into account.
Exactly. And he's a proven good player as well. Yeah. Like he'd already won two Voltors when he did this, and he did was it one or two of the Keyforge Live competitions as well.
Sure. Didn't he win the last season of the KFPL as well, or at least he came to the final? I'm not sure if he won or not.
Exactly. So he's a proven good player. Mm. But I think, you know, you've always got to start, obviously, with what you know. You know, so it's always going to come from your perspective. And then the user voice comes in, and it becomes better when the more you listen to the people using your system. Mm. So it's inevitable it's going to be better.
So at the start, his system had these card ratings based on his opinion of the card, and he had the synergy system on top. And then also as a parallel system, he had ARC, which did not influence the main SAS score. He just made a very similar approach to the pre-existing ADHD system, where he rated cards based on amber control, expected amber, artifact control, and creature control. And he just put that so you have some other information about your deck and can see what your deck does. And then he received feedback that actually most people found the ARC score more useful than the SAS score. So then at some point he changed, I think in the middle of Age of Ascension, he changed the entire system to be based on ARC. Basically he said, you know, the base rating of the card is no longer based on my personal opinion. I look at each card and I say, this card will sometimes give me two ambers, sometimes give me one amber when I play it. So I would say it has an expected amber of 1.5. And then he did that for every card, and also with other, like this card will always kill a creature. That's one creature control. And then that's the basis. You put all of that together and you add in the synergy and you get the SAS score. It's quite funny, when he launched the system, he said in ADHD, efficiency is useless. He said that card score is no good. But then now it's one of the most important stats in SAS. So that's a funny thing.
I completely agree that how important efficiency is now.
Yeah. So if I would say one thing, I think it's a bit of a bummer when I go on the Dex of Keyforge website and I click the about page for SAS, and I don't see the current SAS system is completely based on the foundation set up by the ADHD system. It's a lot better, but except for the synergies, the entire approach of rating the cards based on certain qualities and trying to objectively say, this is how much amber I get from this card, this is how much amber I take away with this card, and so on. That's completely based on the approach that MNR made. So I think there should be, on that about page, there should be some acknowledgement, I think. That's what I would say.
Coming from a true scientist.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess he's more from the software development world where people, like, I don't know, you have PUBG that's super popular, and then Epic makes Fortnite to steal their player base, and that kind of thing goes on all the time. So maybe, I don't think Nathan is doing that. I think it's just more like an oversight that he probably.
He's worked really hard on this anyway.
I don't think it's like he's leaving this acknowledgement out of the page out of some kind of malice. I just think he didn't even consider that maybe it should be there. Just an oversight. So
yeah. But then, you know, this podcast wouldn't be here if it wasn't for, you know, Nordic Keyforge League being there with that fan base, and, you know, me being encouraged by Zach from Call of Discovery and a couple other people in the Keyforge community as well. And so, you know, there is acknowledgements that we never end up giving.
That's true, actually. Maybe I should be more introspective about these things.
But it's always good to know what that base thing is, and credit to Nathan for putting in that putting in the time. Which maybe is it Amina who made the ADHD.
Aminar. Yeah.
Maybe Aminar wasn't able to put in the time.
Yeah, for sure.
That, and Nathan went and he did that, and his love of the game has really come out there.
Yeah, I mean, the current system is based on what he did, but it's 1,000 times better. I mean, there is no comparison. If you look at the ratings that the system that Corifan built is just infinitely better at this point.
Yeah,
because he kept improving it, he kept taking feedback, and he kept, and that's really, I think, the biggest thing about Sasset. He keeps taking feedback. He keeps improving it. He is very open on his Discord server, and obviously sometimes he will say, "No, this will be too much work to put into the system," and that's fine. He has to.
He's got a day job.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, but regardless of that, when you have a project, you have to set set the boundaries, and you have to set this is the scope, and this is what I'm doing, and this is what I can do. And if you try to do too many things, you won't do anything, basically. So I completely respect that he even if I think, I don't know, house roles and main houses should be rated by the system, I can absolutely see that. Yeah, no, I don't have time to do that, and other things are more important, and that's completely fair.
But it's not a perfect system.
It's not.
And I think that's the point. That's one of the big points I want to make in this episode is not the perfect system, and it will take a lot of work to be the perfect system. And even as more sets come out, like when we know right now, we have no idea what Winds of Exchange is gonna bring us. Well, we have a few card that's been spoiled and a few ideas, but in terms of mechanics and everything, you know, how much of a nightmare is the Tide, for example, in, you know, really rating in a deck? Because really, they're like Dark Tidings decks really should have two SAS scores, a high tide and a low tide SAS score. You know, if we want to go down there, and then you've got to meet somewhere in the middle. And so it's never going to be a perfect system. So did you have anything else that you wanted to add to
how I feel about the system? It will never be a perfect system, and I think that's good for the game. That it's not the perfect system. Because one of the things, maybe one of the reasons I've been sort of a bit anti the system, is that I think people should play their decks and not just look at a number that tells them play this deck, don't play that deck. But as long as they continue to make tricky cards that can't be rated by a system and tricky interactions that can't be tracked by the system, the person who plays their decks has an advantage over the person who just looks at the number. So
yeah, and I agree with you 100% there. I think my relationship to SAS, I didn't really understand this until I think Worlds Collide came out, because I didn't get into the game until AOA. And actually, it was a little bit after Worlds Collide came out, because obviously I was just enjoying some of the AOA and COTA decks that I bought. And then I did a store casual tournament with Worlds Collide, and I came second in that. And then that was a bit like, oh, wow, I'm good at something. I'm going to buy more of this. 106 decks later, then where's my money gone? but, you know, even in that deck that I you know, came second with, and that's... I think it was sort of six. I think it's a 65 or 66 in the current in its current score. And you know, I try and go back, and I struggled to do much with it now. But at the time, I think I really enjoyed the game without knowing, okay, what some system has said about my deck, because I could then explore and discover that deck without it telling me. And I have tried to, much as I can, when I open a deck, I play it a few times before I stick it in the system. I remember when I started streaming with the captain's deck on the thing, I was opening a whole load of Dark Tidings deck, and every tarb was like, oh, this is going to be such a good deck. This is going to be really high. This works with this. This works with this. And then I opened up the thing. I was like, okay, that's a 52. but the fact is that I enjoyed the deck before I realized what this SAS rating was. And I think that's a part of where my relationship is, because then when I got into the Nordic Keyforge League, or the Keyforge Sweden League as it was at the time, I was my deck selection was, okay, my six highest decks, okay, the work's done for me. When we go to banning, I just ban the opponent's top two decks, and then you'd obviously stuck down in the lower half of the bottom division for a long time. And so it wasn't until I started to pull apart this SAS system and go, okay, what is it actually built of? And instead of this just this one thing, this one synergy number at the top, what's it made up of? Because maybe those stats underneath could actually tell me a little bit more about what I can and can't do, especially with the current meta or the meta at the time that I'm playing. And so I realized actually my best deck was actually ridiculously slow. It had a lot of amber control, but it didn't have, and creature control, but it didn't have much else. And so I was like, oh wow, that's why I'm losing with this at the time, my best deck. My best deck, inverted commas. And so I really felt, without knowing more, without going into it, I feel that it's misleading. If you're just looking at the top, that you need to go in. And I think the real value is where you look at, okay, what is your efficiency score? What is the meta score? You know, what cards do you have there? What's your amber control? Because amber control, I realize, is a lot. I've got a really, really quick, last season, I'm not using it this season, so I can talk about it. I've got an absolutely crazy fast deck. I mean, the efficiency is plus 30. It has zero amber control. And so it's just about, okay, how quickly can I get my amber and finish the game off? I did get banned a lot, but I didn't really realize that until I was like, okay, wow, this really doesn't have the amber control. Because like you say just now, I wasn't actually playing it. I was looking at these stats before even wanting to play it. I must have about 50 decks in my collection, which I've never played. Because I scanned them, it's in maybe 68 or below, and I'm just like, okay, I want to give my time to learning my best decks. And so I think it can be misleading, and I think there's a lot of people that have a lot of decks that they've never played because they've just scanned it, logged it into the Dex Keyforge and never played it. And so I think that's probably the more negative side of it, and it's nothing we can't blame anyone apart from, you know. But then my other point that I want to make with SAS is that, is there another way of doing this? Is there another way to analyze our decks? Is there another way to rate our decks in an easy, fair way that has the same, being asked the same questions with, about every deck? You know, coming, you know, talking to you as a scientist, you know, when you're experimenting, when you're analyzing stuff, you've got to go up against the same rules and the same set of the same experiment each time. So is there anything that better? Is there a way that this could even be improved? And there was an attempt recently, wasn't there? There was one on Kickstarter where they tried to use a different method. I didn't look into it too much. And they're asking people to send in their decks or their deck links, and then they'd send back and with a different rating system. And it wasn't right at all.
Yeah, so that one of the biggest problems I had with that system was they weren't transparent about how it worked at all. They said,
no.
Send in your deck and we will analyze. It was completely based on SAS and AARC. They said, we will analyze your AARC numbers and make some kind of conclusion based on the distribution of how they are, which maybe could be a reasonable approach, but they don't say how they did it.
No.
You just got a number back and you don't know why was it this number? Why is this a good 69 and not a bad 69, or vice versa?
Yeah,
which is what they try to tell you. This deck is better than it's sus, or it's worse than it's sus. That was basically what they were trying to do. And again, I was also annoyed the same thing there that they didn't. They were kind of even much more so than sus on ADHD. They completely based their system on someone else's system and didn't. Mm. And didn't. And sus made a lot of improvements over ADHD. And this one made some changes, but was mostly derivative. Mm. The changes were not transparent. And and you can question whether there were even improvements at all. So,
yeah. And obviously, it didn't do so well in Kickstarter. As much as they tried. So it keeps coming back to us. Okay, this system, it isn't perfect, and we shouldn't base everything on this. But I don't think there's a better way of
so.
Analyzing your deck in a systematic way.
So I will say I think there is place for other ways, other approaches. Whether they will be better or not, probably they will not be better. But I think there may still be a place for them. Like for example, I think there might be a place for a system more similar to what SUS originally was. Like you just rate cards on whether they are good or not. Without tying them to what they do. And then you can say this card has, I don't know, 20-30 out of 36 cards that are good. So it's a good deck. Something like that.
But I mean, but then you're making my point here is that we keep coming back to a SAS-based system of rating each individual card.
Yeah.
In doing that. And I think, but then that's on the one side. It doesn't take away from the fact that you have to play your deck. You have to narp your deck. Mm. You have to play it, get to know it, actually know what it is like in your hands. Can you even play this deck that is meant to be good? Like there's so many times I've had a higher rated deck and I'm just been like, well, I keep losing with this because I couldn't give it the time to go, okay, how do I properly pilot this deck to be as good as it's telling me that it should be. So I think it can really distract you if you're only using the system to rate your decks.
Mm.
And I think it's the same thing in the secondary market, that I think you can be, you know, a little bit what's the word I'm trying to think of? You can be a bit...
You can be a bit too... focused on the SAS maybe, or
too focused on the SAS and maybe pay more for a deck than actually what it's worth, because okay, maybe it's a 92 and so 92 SAS, which means okay, you're gonna have to pay $300 for it or something like that, where actually maybe it doesn't suit you.
Or it doesn't have a clear plan for how to play it. Like
exactly, and I think people are just opening up, scanning it, going, okay, great, that we'll get 300 for that one as well. It's not secondary market in Keyforge is a lot different to the secondary market in Magic, because of Magic you pay for the card and the card has its worth and you can put that with anything else as well. So my big thing is that I think it can distract you, but I still think there isn't much of a better way to actually.
Can I bring up another system that failed to do something else? Because I'm trashing on everything today, I might as well trash on another on another system. Some of them really good players. They tried to make a system they called expected win rate, where they looked at the organized play data from the Master Vault, and they say they track there in organized play which decks wins and which deck loses, right? And then they looked at each card. Does it show up? Is it overrepresented for winning or losing, right? So they could see that, certain cards tend to be in decks that lose a lot. So then that card on its own has a lower win rate than a card that is often in a deck that wins a lot. And then they basically they they calculated the average win rate for each card based on all the organized play data, and then they put all of the cards in your deck together to give your score, your deck a score based on what the cards, how often the cards in your deck win. And like, there are so many methodological problems with that, right? For example, when the system launched and we had Kota, Shadows was the best house of all houses. So if your deck had Shadows, you were likely to win, right? But it doesn't mean that every single Shadows card is good.
No.
But your bad penny, which is a bad card, it would show up with all these other good Shadows cards. So it would, the system would see, oh, bad penny is a card that wins a lot. But it's so bad penny is a card you want in your deck, right? So it had lots of problems like that.
But that's a good example of a system actually trying to bring in other other factors. You know, it's trying to, it's bringing in how much they've been played in over some amount of time, and so it's bringing in another thing. But then standing alone is not the only thing you can use to analyze your deck. It's not the only thing that you should use. However, all data is good data.
And I would say that while this experiment of making a deck rating system based on this failed, this approach of collecting win rate data is actually something that Nathan has incorporated in how he rates cards for SUS. So he looks at this data.
He still looks at that data.
He looks at the data. So basically he says, when a new set comes out, my ratings are bad because I don't have this data yet. And then after 4 months, I have this data and the ratings become a lot better because then I understand how the card actually works in decks. But the difference between what he's doing and what the system is doing is he doesn't just add everything up and let the machine do everything. He uses his human mind to look at the data, use it as input, but not use it as the word of God, right? So
But I
think some of these systems that have come and have failed to compete with SUS, that's one of the reasons why I have gotten more appreciative of actually how right SUS eventually got things. Because SUS could come in and be better than ADHD, but nothing has, people have tried, but no one has been able to make anything that's better than SUS. So that has to count for something. But they may still bring something valuable to the table, like this win rate analysis did, in how it later on informs card ratings in SUS.
I think this conversation can go on for a long time, and I think we will definitely be coming back to this conversation as well. And so I think we're going to leave there tonight. And I've actually made some of the points that I wanted to make in the rest of the questions. I don't know if in terms of deck choice as well, but maybe if we just take one of these other questions, then we're going to come back to this conversation. Like, Jonas, do you use other factors? What other factors apart from SAS are you judging your decks or your Nordic Keyforge League lineup on, or you know, knowing what a deck is good? What other factors outside of SAS are you basing this on?
So what I do is I play every deck at least 10 times, even the ones that look bad. So I have in my league lineup, I've had the deck I've had for the longest in my lineup. I opened it and it was like SUS 64, 65, and it has increased and it's now 71, which is very low by league standards. And it's still, I would say, one of my 6 best decks. And I know that because I've played 1,000 games with it. Sorry, I played almost 3,000 games with it.
I was going to say, I thought you were 2,500
when
you started the podcast.
So you know, that's the most important thing. I would say also when I look at my opponent's lineups in the league, I use AERC variables a lot. So I... Yeah. That's really valuable input. I know I don't want to play against a combination of high creature control and high expected amber, or high creature control and high disruption. So, and I use that for banning choices.
Which actually was my next question. You know, what part of the ARC are you looking at the moment? What is important to you when you're looking at that? And you don't have to answer that, actually, I've realised, with the start of the league and bannings, the league process as well. But, you know, I don't know if there's any kind of the maybe one or two of those.
I look for certain combinations of things. So if like I said, high expected amber and high creature control, for example, things like that. What about you? What? Both of them. I talked so much now for two questions, so I guess you had the first question also about what are the factors you consider.
I think when I'm playing a deck, I'm looking for, you know, what the likelihoods of, you know, the combo cards are actually coming into my hand, and you know, are these cards that can play together, how often are they actually going onto the board together? Because one of the one of my cup decks this season as well is the value in the deck is reliant on one card, and I'm playing it, I'm testing it, and I chose it for the cup anyway because, you know, it's still got a lot of good fun in it. But I'm looking at, okay, how long is this key card? How long is it staying on the board? How long can I keep it on the board? And how long can the supporting cards actually do that when I find that one card? And actually, you know, things like this that SAS can't tell me, you know, I've got Roma, which is one of my best and one of my favorite decks. It's my, it's not actually in any of my lineups this season as well. It's my Dark Ember Vault deck. And it's so reliant on Dark Ember Vault being on the board. And in four or five of the games, in actually three of the games that I could actually play it this season, it was bottom decked. And I lost with it every time. And I lose with the deck when Dark Ember Vault isn't out. When it's out, it wins every time. Because I've got nine mutants, and I just keep drawing and drawing and drawing, and I can have half the deck in my hand at the same time. Now, SAS can't tell me that. So, and it comes to the playing. So that's what I'm looking for when I'm playing. When I'm looking at the SAS things, I'm looking for speed and I'm looking for Ember Control. And I think they're the first two things. I think I've started actually looking more than expected Ember and even Creature Control as well. And I think because it's a race, and I'm realizing maybe that's something to do with the if that's in the current meta at the moment or something, but I realized that actually both speed and being able to take your opponent off of check, because Keyforge is one of those games that's can get absolutely crazy. Ember can be flying everywhere, but it's the ability that, you know, am I going to be able to count on taking my opponent off check when I really, really need to? And I think that, you know, can I get my Ember from what the other guy's doing? Because if my opponent is going to be using high expected Ember all the time, there's going to be a lot of Ember coming into the game that I'm going to want to take off of him. So that's a few of the things I'm currently looking at. I'm currently exploring in how I play, and I've probably showed my hand a bit too much now at the start of the season. But, you know,
but I think this is very interesting, because what you're really getting at here is, actually, the best way to use SAS is to look at, basically what you have been doing is you have been analyzing the meta, and you have been saying, I want to be able to react to these things. And then you can use the tools that SAS and the AERC system gives you to find decks that can react to what you want to be able to react to. So and maybe other people will make another analysis of what things you want to have or be able to counter, but I think that's really, if we are going to kind of end with a recommendation on how to best use the system other than looking at the top of line number, I would say exactly what you're doing here is it that you try to analyze the meta, and you try to say, in this meta I need these things, and then you try to use these numbers to find decks with these things. So you can do well in the meta.
And the big thing is not get distracted by your big score. because that big score isn't going to do you much help, you know. Unless you're in sealed and no one knows anything about that deck anyway, and you're gonna put a crazy deck anyway playing sealed. So no.
yeah, you can just the most important skill in Keyforge is just opening the best deck, right? So
yeah, I know, right? Well, maybe with sealed it is as well. But actually, sealed is another conversation. Actually, something I want to bring up because I think you and I, we both love the sealed.
Oh yeah,
game as well. And
of course, I love sealed, which is I keep opening good decks.
Yeah, exactly. You're gonna hate the game the moment you open up a bad deck in sealed. let's end this conversation there, and I think we've rounded up that one pretty well there. Just with a start, and I really want to know what the others think about this as well. So hopefully we can get them on and ask them the same questions in the next thing as well. And I really hope that also Corithan is going to release this fabled new latest update for SAS actually at the moment, because I think he's having a bit of a breather now that the game's on hiatus.
And you know, I think people are being a bit unfair to him, because just because he doesn't put up the update doesn't mean he's not making changes. Like the way he makes changes, as he talked about on the Call of Discovery episode, is he puts changes into the system and they're in the system. They just don't go live until he clicks a button to say, okay, make these changes go live. But he's still making these changes even today. Mm. He just doesn't have his computer set up to click the button to make them go live. So that's why it's been...
But and actually, like with another thing in his favor here is the fact that there's Dark Tidings. Well, Mass Mutation hasn't seen Vault Door. Mm. Dark Tidings hasn't seen a Vault Door. Mm. There's organized play which haven't seen the same stats, and he's not getting the same data. And so, you know, when Winds of Exchange come out and we get our game back, then I'm sure we're gonna be, but you know, we're gonna get a good another update in as well. But you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter a huge amount, because the stats are there. You have your deck in your hand, and there's nothing stopping you from playing it.
Yeah,
because we still have the wonderful guys at TCO to support us there as well. Where would this game be without the community? You know, where would this game be without so many talented people in the community making it possible to play this game? Hmm. You do wonder.
Yeah, the community has really allowed this game to thrive in that way.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. So let's move on. There's not really so much of a league update this week, because obviously I think maybe four or five games have been played in total in the last 2 days since, you know, the official start of the season was yesterday. But I think what we can do, I don't know if you want to go through this, in the polls, we're just going to have a look through, see who the favourite is in... who's the favourite in each division has been voted for, I think, and just so who to look out for, and hopefully put a lot of unnecessary pressure on Zaramis again.
So this is something that Sysoxy put up on the server. He said basically for each division, he said vote for who you think will win that division with an emoji for each player. So for the Diamond Division, the favorite with 12 votes is Sysox himself, which I think makes absolute sense considering his record. I don't know, I've lost count of how many league wins he has, league championships he has at this point. Is it 4 or 3 or 5? I don't even know at this point. He just keeps racking them up.
I think we need to take one off each one of these, because Sysox always puts in the
he votes for everyone first.
He votes for everything first, so that you can just click on the right emoji as well.
So he has 11 votes, and then in shared second place is Stoffson with 6 votes and Zaramis with 6 votes.
Yeah. And we could even probably guess that Syzox wanted to vote for Zaramis anyway, so we can say that actually that is a seven for Zaramis.
Yeah, probably. For the Platinum Division, we have one favorite that's really way ahead, and that's Mr. K-Pop with 15 votes. So it's more than double the runner-up, who is Jay Kandika at 7 votes.
So both people that came down are going back up. But then Lena's only went down because he had to pull out halfway through the season, last season. Due to personal things as well. So
But we know he has really strong decks, and we know he's a really good player. But so is everyone else in that division. So, But I voted for Mr. K-Pop here, but I think there are some other ones that people should look out for.
Am I reading this right for gold?
For gold.
No,
I don't know. What are you reading?
I'm reading that Yasavo is the favorite to win gold this season.
I think maybe people were asking who is the best at making gifts.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's right here. Yasavo is with 10 votes, favorite. Close behind, you have Slow Aaron and Lord Olaf. Is that, yeah, that must be right. I need to start voting for other people.
Okay, and then we have Silver A with the two who are in top are very close. We have at 9 votes, we have Torvalpo. And at 8 votes, we have a former Diamond Division player, Pinne, who has been taking some seasons off, so that's why he started off in the lower division. But I've played against him. He's a really strong player. And we also have players who came up from the bronze division last season, like Dick Rowland at 5 votes, and strong players like Octodog. And I think that's Nick Iva, who has been a really tricky player from the Stockholm community, who can do well as well. So I think Silver A will be really interesting to watch.
Silver B, I am scared.
Oh yeah, that's your division.
This is my division. I've only had 2 votes for me. Actually, no, I'm going to say 3 because I'm going to say that Syzox.
Yeah, Syzox definitely voted for you.
He definitely voted for me. Thanks, Jonas. Arm Attacker and Anders Gunge, thank you so much for your votes. Anyway, back on to the rest of the thing. The favorite is PAQ with 11 votes.
He had a really impressive record last season, right?
That was really that they both were in the same bronze league last season. Him and Equi. That's gonna be. We're all gonna have to be on a game, basically. In this league, second place with 5 and 5. We've got Arcolt, and he's actually come back from get back involved. He's based in Australia, isn't he?
But
he was involved in the league when it started.
Yeah, he many seasons back. He even played in the top division for a while. So
as well. And he took this same league structure to Australia for the Australian Keyforce League. As well, so and he's brought some players over with him as well. We've got a lot of players in bronze. We'll just do this quickly because this has been going on. Tell me, Jonas, who's bronze A?
In bronze A, the favorite is Jay Filipeg, and given his amazing record internationally, I can definitely understand why he's doing so well. But he has other strong players in his division. He has in second place with 6 votes. He has Not Tonight, who is a really good player. And then third place is Clogging with 5 votes. So, really
where,
tough.
Why are we letting all these amazing players in the league? It's going to make it so much harder for me. Like, not tonight, Cloggin, Jay Filipek. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite funny. Many of these players should be in the top division.
they really, really should. Yeah. Bronze B, we actually have Anders, previous guest on the podcast, hopefully returning soon. Hmm. Martian Dog with 11 votes.
I'm seeing 9 votes.
Yes, I'm sorry, yeah.
but still him in the lead.
Yeah, he's in the lead with, with 9 votes, of course. Then we have Shybe in second with 7 votes there. And finally, Bronzy, Tuvac 4X, is the favourite to win Bronze C. And that's another absolutely crazy division, looking at the players there.
Hmm.
Who have we got in second there?
I guess we have a 5-way tie in second.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. All with 3 votes.
Hmm.
Red Train, Phlox, St. Velten, Swiper, and Roger Schrubber. Yeah, cool. Wow, this season 14 is going to be tough. Good luck to everyone. Good luck to everyone apart from anyone else in Silver B. I'm coming for you. I'm gonna be regretting even saying that. But yeah, this season is going to be good. We're going to obviously be back in a couple of weeks with the updates on how the first week has gone, and or maybe the first 2 game weeks have gone, and we start seeing any quick starters and everything. But yeah, that is it for tonight. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for staying with us to the end. If you did, if you didn't, then you know, fair enough.
And you won't hear this. You so won't actually hear this anyway. we could be insulting you right now if we wanted to.
Yeah, we are.
But the captain is just too classy. He would never do something like that.
I know. I'm too polite British. We say sorry for things that we didn't do, and thank you for things that we haven't got. So and then we go and mess everything up with Brexit. Hydro, do you want to take us out of the episode and say our goodbyes?
Okay. Thank you everyone for listening. I hope this discussion about SUS has been interesting, and that you have some new perspectives on how to use SUS. And I hope I didn't bore you to tears with my history lessons. Have a nice weekend, everyone, or week, whenever this releases.
Have a good Forge night.
Yes, perfect.
And we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Forge on and prosper, everyone. Good night.
Bye.
Bye.